most all of the community projects. I am the Czech native lang project co-lead and also a translator, the translator and developer. First few words about the Czech project. Czech project started with translation of OpenOffice.org version 1. At that time we were just developing the tools used for translations and we were gaining experiences. And the tools and experiences and translations we used later in version 2. And Czech project was something like experimental with guinea pig for the localization and build system, because Pavel Janík is Czech and the build system is mainly his work. And, thanks to this, Czech translation started at the end of year 2004, and it was the first completed community localization. It was completed at the end of July, and we have translated the user interface and the help, which was about 1500 pages of text. So let's suppose you want to translate OpenOffice.org into your language. So what do you need to this? Strings which should be translated are marked or tagged in the source files, and the help consists of a lot of small XML files. From the source files and XML files, the tools can generate one large file, a GSI file that contains all the strings from the interface and also from the help, and some informations about these strings. But this GSI file is not very good for translation, so there exists a project which produces a Translate Toolkit. It's a tool for that converts application specific formats like GSI or the Mozilla localization files or others to the PO files. I will talk later what this is. So the PO templates generated by the Translate Toolkit follows the same structure as the source files and the help files, so you can easily find the strings, and you can easily tell to which module of OpenOffice these strings which module contains these strings. The PO format file is a standard format used by GNU GetText tools. This format and these tools are used by most of open source localization projects. So there exists a lot of tools and graphical editors and conversion tools and everything for this format. So it's very easy to work with them. Most important of the GetText tools. At first, I can show you example of the PO file. As you see, it's a simple text file which contains some information about the file and the language. And it contains the strings in original language, mostly English, and then the translated strings. You can edit this file in a text editor if you don't want to use anything more sophisticated. Apart from text editors, you can use graphical editors. They exist for various operating systems and they have various functions. You can choose whatever you like. Apart from graphical editors, there are web-based editors which can be used by almost anyone just from the web browser. This is the picture of such web-based editor named Pootle. I think it was mentioned in previous presentations. And one more picture, this is the Kbabel graphical editor. I think this one is the most advanced PO editor at this time. But it can be a disadvantage because it's very complex to use and some users have problems using such sophisticated editor. So they choose some simple editors like G Translator or something like that. Also, Kbabel supports translation memory or some glossary files, which are very important because in every project you have some terms that should be translated the same way. For example, menu items. So you have to find some way how to share these terms with all the translators in the project. And this can be done either by some glossary file which you update regularly, or the users can have their copy of whole, the actual copy of whole text, and they can search the term in this text. One part of Kbabel is Catalog Manager, which is very useful for the leader of the project or the person responsible for the team of translators, because it can give you overview of the whole project. It can show you which files are translated, which are not, which are partly translated, which files have errors or something like this. Both the GetText tools and the editors based on the GetText tools supports fuzzy translations or that is, if you have, for example, some terms translated, like the menu items, for example, file. You can let Fuzzy translate the larger text, for example, some help file. And if there in the text, if there is a word file, the tools put the right translations into the file. But you have to check these fuzzy translated strings, because no computer is right every time. You translate the PO files. That takes some time and some resources, and then you will use the translate toolkit again, but in the opposite direction. You will convert your PO files to GSI files, and these files are used to build OpenOffice, or in version 2 it can be used to build only language packs that contains only translations. The build system. This build system is used by all community languages. Not all of them are using the PO files, but they have other methods of translating the GSI files. But once the GSI files are translated, they can be put in the build system, and OpenOffice can be built in local languages. You could have heard more in Pavel's presentation this morning about build systems, so I can show you. This is inaccurate if I remember Pavel said at the morning that 34 languages. 34 is. So you see, languages are the number of languages is racing every week. So that was about tools. If you have some questions about the localization tools or framework, you can ask. Now I want to give you some tips or some experiences gained in OpenOffice or translation and some other translations I was doing before. In such a large translation as OpenOffice org is, you have to this can be done by one people. You have to build a team. So the first thing you have to decide is whether you build a team of volunteers or you hire an agency to translate OpenOffice. Of course, the advantage of agency is that you don't have to worry about anything. They could translate everything for you and they can manage everything, but it will cost a lot of money, and sometimes the agencies do not want to use the file format used in the build system. Some agencies accept Word files or Excel files or something like this. On the other hand, if you want to translate everything by yourself or with the team, it will take a lot more time, but you won't have to spare money. You won't have to spend money on this. I will tell you something about Czech project, about our decision, we asked some localization agencies if they would be able to translate the help content, but the agencies asked some for 30,000 euros, which we don't have apparently, and so we choose to translate to think by ourselves. The Czech project have the advantage that the user interface was already translated in version 1, so we could just take it and reuse the translations. Of course, we needed the translations needed to update and translate the new parts that were added in version 2. But we managed to do this in a few weeks, only by a few people. Unfortunately, the help was translated in version 1, but it was difficult to reuse. Other file format was used in version 1. So we started to ask people for help. People on every place possible, in mailing list, on specialized servers, and so on. And throughout the time, throughout the 8 months of translation, there were 18 people in the team, but not all of them at once. Maximally about 9 or 8 people were working at one moment. So if you are searching for the people, for the volunteers in community, you have to test them, because the translation must have some quality. And it's, from my experience, it's very good to just take part of the actual localization files and give it to the people who wants to volunteer. And in that way, you can see if they are able to translate the text in the required quality, and if they are able to use the proper terms. And also, you can see if they are able to use the localization tools, if they are able to translate the files in the right format, if they don't break the files. That was very important in the help translation, as you can see. The translating help was a real pain. I'm sure you can see this. There's an awful lot of backslashes. So if you miss one backslash, the whole help is broken. And this is one thing that needs to be repaired or improved in the future. Already told that help contains about 1500 pages, but this is not only the help, the online help, but also the extended tips, which you can see if you hover over some icon, as you can see in the picture. So these tips are also integrated in the help. So you have built the team, you have worked for them, and you need to organize the people somehow. Very important is, if you work in team, communication is very important. For a quick communication, the mailing list or IRC is is the best. You can quickly resolve issues or anything. But it's also good to know the people in a real life, so you can meet them somehow and you can talk about anything, not just work. Also, it's very good to use some versioning system like CVS, because in versioning system you can keep track of changes. You can look what each user changed or and when, if he added something. You can if there's a bug, you can find when the bug appeared. And you have the actual state of translation at every moment. As I said, the localization files, the build files, follows the structure of the help files or the source files. So it's divided to some logically related blocks. For example, in help, all the shortcut keys for, let's say, writer are in one file, and the shortcut keys for calc are in another file. So it's good to give one such file to one translator, because one translator can keep the file and the translation consistent. But if more people would work on one file, they would use different language and the file wouldn't be so consistent. If you work with volunteers, you have to check their progress, because of course they do it in their free time and they may forgot to translate something, they may not have a time. So if you keep bugging them, keep asking them about their progress, you can be sure that they will do the work. Other good motivation is to have some statistics of translation progress. Like in this picture, we had the statistics of who is translating which file and which part is already translated, how many of the text is untranslated. So everyone can see how is everyone other doing. And of course people don't want to be the last one who translate something, so they want to compete with each other. Also, you have to find some sponsors so that the translators can be rewarded for their work. And how we did that Czech project? We are using the CVS at OpenOffice.org website, and if you tried to get an account in CVS, you know it's a big problem. You have to add your key and make the tunnel and so on. So it may be a problem for some users. But I think only two or three people from the 18 people have some problems with CVS. So most of them were able to commit their translation progress almost immediately. because most of the time we have one translator for a file. At the end, we have found out that one remaining file from help was the help for a calc with statistical and economical functions. Apparently, no one wanted to translate this, so this last file had to be split to some smaller parts, and everyone from the team get his part of statistical functions. I already showed you our online statistics and some interesting thing is that when some threshold was nearing, like let's say in a week we will have 20,000 strings translated, so everyone wanted to give some of his work to reach this threshold of 20,000 strings. So these thresholds temporarily increased performance of the team, and then after the threshold was reached, everyone went back to his normal speed of translating. Unfortunately, we have found only a few sponsors. We gave some money, we get Linux magazine subscriptions for the translators, and we get the trip to the conference thanks to Open Source Software Alliance. Apparently after you translate everything, your work is not done at all, because you have to check the whole translation if it contains, if it is good, and if all the text needs some quality. Very good is to release development versions in your language as often as possible, and spread these versions to users, because users can find the bugs or the bad translations by using the OpenOffice. And if you provide the users some method to report the bug, you will have their feedback. Apart from this, you should organize some proofreading. This is mainly important for help content, because it contains a lot of pages of text. There's a very good tool, it's Macro Online Help Link Creator, which create spreadsheet files containing links to every single page in help, so you don't have to click through and navigate through the help, through the online helps, and you can just have a file with the links and follow the links, and you can read the whole help. I can show. We organized quality QA quality check of the help translations, and we made similar statistics as for translations, so we can check which part of help are already proofreaded. The Czech project released almost every milestone in Czech since the start of the year. Unreleased milestones was when Pavel was on holiday, so he don't have time to release. Also, we have a Czech web portal for users, where users can report bugs in a mailing list or a web forum, and we have received some bug reports, and of course we have corrected them in a next week build. Unfortunately, not many users are using Issuezilla because it's a bit complicated for users. And it's even more complicated for non-English speaking users. I was talking about proofreading. Yes, during the translations we also checked the original English help, and we helped to improve or correct the original help files, but some of the corrections are postponed to later release of OpenOffice. Yes, and this is almost the end. If you translate everything and proofread everything, you can release your local OpenOffice work in your language, but you can be sure that some bugs in the translations will be found later by users. So you have to correct these bugs and release new versions. Also, you have to synchronize the translations with the new versions of English OpenOffice.org. Sometimes there are new strings added or some strings updated and something like this. And of course, you must not forget about the proper marketing at your local market. You can find some links to the tools I was talking about, and thank you you were here, and if you have some questions, please ask.